The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When a large crowd gathered with people from one town after another, journeying to Jesus, he spoke in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." Then his disciples asked him what the meaning of this parable might be. He answered, "Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to the rest they are made known through parables, so that they may look but not see, and hear but not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they might not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time and fall away in time of temptation. As for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard, but as they go along, they are choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they have heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Thought I would tell you one last time about our first reading, because this is the very last time that we're going to hear from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians that we've been hearing from for the past few weeks. We've come to the very end of it today, and we will not hear from it again for 2 more years. Now, the gospel, the parable of the sower and the seed, do you know that we hear from that 4 times a year? Very important gospel, don't get me wrong, but we do hear from it from both Matthew and Mark, and today from Luke. So a tiny little word to you today from the first reading, because St. Paul tells the Corinthians something we almost never hear about, and that is namely the resurrection of the body. Religion will always be the most interesting subject in the entire world. 2 reasons for that. Religion answers the 2 most interesting questions that life ever poses to us. Number 1, what's right and what's wrong? And number 2, what happens to us after we die? So a little tiny word about that. Death is not the end for a Christian. It's not annihilation, and it's not the end of our being. It's only a change. We believe that death is nothing more than the separation of the soul from the body. The body is everything about us that's physical. That's easy enough to understand. But the soul, that's a much deeper question. The soul is everything about us that's not physical. It's your memory, it's your will, it's your virtues, it's your vices, it's your love, it's your lack thereof. You want to know what the soul is? Go to a funeral. Look at the casket and ask yourself, what's missing? That's the soul, right? So what is death? It's the separation of the soul from the body. However, that is not our natural state. God made us body and soul together. Now, when we die, the body is buried and goes down into the ground, and the soul, you know, it's separated, and for an hour we live in a purely spiritual existence, but that was not the way it was meant to be. There will be a resurrection of the body. And St. Paul just got finished telling the Corinthians about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so he uses the image of Christ's resurrection from the dead to be an image for what happens to our mortal bodies as well. Four things that he tells us here today. What's sown corruptible, he says, is raised incorruptible. Christ once died, will never die again. Second, he says, what's sown dishonorable will be raised glorious. You can't really say that the body is dishonorable, except for the fact that no matter how hard we try, it's prone to decay, right? Even the most glistening Olympic athlete, eventually he will be prone to decay. And you can delay the process. You can eat right, and you can exercise, and you can get your proper amount of sleep, and you can take your vitamin B12. But eventually, gravity always wins, doesn't it, right? Prone to decay, dishonorable. And what Paul wants to tell us is that what's raised is not merely a resuscitation of what was here before, but rather it's something entirely new. Look at the accounts of Jesus Christ raised from the dead in the Gospels, and you'll find they didn't recognize him. The people who knew him for years had a hard time recognizing who he was. Somehow, it's going to be entirely new. He says, what's sown weak is raised powerful. Like I said, we're prone to disease and decay and viruses, and eventually we're prone to death. So it is in time. It will not be so in eternity. And additionally, there will be some kind of abilities that the resurrected body has that the natural body never had. Once again, look at Christ in the Gospels. The natural body of Christ behaved very, very differently from his resurrected body. He who could appear and disappear at will. He could pass through closed doors into locked rooms. He could travel from one place to another without having to traverse the distance between them walking on foot. Somehow, this resurrected body will have abilities and powers that the natural body does not. And lastly, he says that what dies is a natural body, but what is raised is a spiritual body. And this might be the most interesting one of all. Spiritual body, that might sound like a contradiction in terms, considering body is physical and spirit is spirit. But what St. Paul means when he talks about a spiritual body is the Holy Spirit. Somehow, the resurrected body will manifest the love of God that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is nothing other than the love of the Father and the Son. And somehow, the goodness and the love of God will be physically manifest in a resurrected body. On one occasion, I had the privilege of speaking with a woman who claims to have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary in a fully approved apparition, fully approved by the church and recognized the world over. And I spoke to this woman. Naturally, I asked her, what did the Blessed Mother look like? And she said, I can't describe how beautiful she is. Somehow that's the beauty of God himself, the Holy Spirit, shining through us. And somehow that beauty we manifest in the resurrected body as well. It can be hard to imagine that God has such goodness planned for us. I think sometimes we get so fixated on death and suffering and sadness and sacrifice that we forget the infinite love and the infinite goodness of God, this God who made everything out of nothing, who made wine out of water. What might he do one day? What might he do with the goodness of his creation? Let's never forget now the goodness of God. And as we said in our psalm response, let's keep the word with a generous heart and yield a harvest through perseverance, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Januarius, pray for us.